Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Reverend Tasha Blackburn with the One Pres Pod, and it's the second week of the month, and so that means I'm going to have the number two in the second week of the month, mm-hmm. or number one?
I don't like either of those
labels. Let's not put numbers.
Yeah.
Especially one and two.
You sure you want to do that?
Especially because we raise mm-hmm. children together mm-hmm. as well, and that means potty humor.
Yeah.
You know, when you raise kids.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
So I've got Phil Blackburn with me here yes. today, since it's the second week of the month. And we're going to be talking about topics ranging wide and far.
Far and wide, Tasha.
Far and wide. We talked about Lent.
Yes.
Last month.
We sure did.
Because it was about to be the beginning of it mm-hmm. and to be a little more. What I think you should tell everybody before we begin with our topic for the day, what have you taken on or given up for Lent?
Well, I'm trying to be more kind.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I'm having some success. Like, I'm going to concede it's limited.
So you're taking on kindness for Lent.
Kindness.
But then after the 40 days, come Easter, watch out.
Back to hostility. Yep. Yep.
Exactly. So, yeah.
What have you taken on?
Well, I have really tried. I'm doing a prayer time each morning. And I am really trying to stick to that and form it as a habit. So it's the same time each day. I mean, I pray a lot, but I want to be formed, you know,
yeah.
like I want to be formed by the same time each day, the same amount of time and see how I'm shaped by that.
That's
so
cool.
That's what mm-hmm. I've taken on. Yeah. Cool. So see, neither one of us gave up chocolate.
No, we didn't.
Or meat. You don't have to. You mm-hmm. can take something on. You
no.
can...
Or caffeine. We've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those were awful,
awful
experiences.
Dark times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have a whole different subject today, and I'm hoping, I think our listeners will be interested. Many of our listeners are members, and some of our listeners are not. So just a brief thing, your role changed January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
You had been full-time at the church, and half-time, or you know, basically full-time at the church, and half-time at another position with the University of the Ozarks. And come January 1st, you're now quarter-time at the church and full-time at this other position at University of the Ozarks. And so now it's been 3 months that you've been full-time, which is different than part-time. And I wondered, say a little bit about the program, and then I want us to check in on what have you learned so far?
Well, I administer 1.5 grants. So we got a new grant. So there's two grants from the Lilly Endowment for Religion at the University of the Ozarks for rural Presbyterian churches in the Presbytery of Arkansas. The original grant, of which I'm the director, is Thriving in Rural Ministry. So I work with pastors who work in rural places.
Mm-hmm.
The new grant is for Thriving Rural Congregations, and I've been working on that a little bit while I wait for our new director of that program, the Reverend Sarah Ann Berger, to start at the end of April.
Yeah.
Because... I extracted her from her congregation.
Yeah,
so
stole is a word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
in Little Rock, yeah.
But we also stole Keeley from the yeah. Crisis Intervention Center.
Stole
so
is a word.
Listen, I have no problem stealing talent.
Yeah.
So I work primarily with pastors. I have to handle one bit of Sarah Ann's job that needs to be done before she starts.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I've been doing, and I think I have lots of conversations that range pretty widely geographically within the denomination.
Mm-hmm. For example?
So today I talked with a pastor in South Carolina. Last week I talked with a retired CRE, which is a commissioned ruling elder, lay pastor.
Yeah, lay pastor.
Lay pastor, yeah. Who is working on... rural ministry in her synod. I had a Zoom yesterday because I'll be speaking at the joint presbytery meeting in Oklahoma at the end of May. They still have three presbyteries in Oklahoma. They will not for much longer.
Wow.
But they still have three. So anyway, so I have these wide-ranging conversations. Then I work with five ministers of Word and Sacrament, like Tasha and me, in Arkansas. And then I work with nine of those commissioned ruling elders, those lay leaders. And then I work a little bit with just regular ruling elders. So just think of people on sessions.
Members of sessions around the state.
So all of those are basically people who are in rural or small membership congregations. And so I try to just equip them and meet them where they are. You may have guessed this, dear listener, but it's a challenging time to be in ministry.
Yeah.
The numbers from the latest report from the Exploring the Pandemic in Congregations research body says that over the last year, across all denominations, 59% of all pastors have considered quitting, which is a really high number.
Wow. That's almost two-thirds.
It's almost two-thirds.
By my math.
By your math.
That's almost two-thirds.
And let me tell you,
Wait, there's two sitting right here.
I know, and one of us quit. So anyway,
oh, no.
So we're covered here,
no.
But I left two something, not from something.
Yes.
I would have been perfectly fine.
And you
fine.
Still have a foot.
And I still have a foot, and I would have been perfectly
yeah.
fine staying. But anyway, so it's a very difficult time to be a pastor, and that is because of the pace of change relative to the expectations of congregations. So it's not surprising to hear that number. The ministers of Word and Sacrament in particular that I work with, we talk about these things. That's all I'll say about it. But anyway, so it's there's a lot happening. And certainly for rural congregations, it's getting increasingly difficult to find a minister of Word and Sacrament who's
yeah.
seminary educated.
Hence that CRE designation,
right.
which is something our denomination has come up with, that pathway to have what would better be known as a lay pastor in the town, in the town they already live in, serve the church they're already attending. That's been one of our answers, but you know, that doesn't solve your finding, and you knew even before you went in that it's not like that covers all the bases.
Right. It does not. And so it's kind of the way that the denomination has viewed that in the past is as a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And what they need to view it as is probably more of a long-term solution.
Yeah.
So that's a change. That's a structural and systemic change that is going to be challenging and has been challenging. That's a common theme in all the conversations I have, is this kind of disconnect between the realities on the ground in small and rural churches and a lot of the judicatory bodies like presbyteries and synods that organize them and oversee them.
Yeah, the example in our region would be the churches in Northwest Arkansas and in Little Rock. They want to have completely different conversations than the church in Benton,
right?
The church in Alma,
right?
The church in Mountain Home. They're almost living in two different realities.
Correct. And so you've got to try to communicate in some ways to make sure that everybody's getting what they need.
Yeah. Except one of the most interesting things I've heard you talk about is some of this work is just sort of reminding them of their worth.
Yes. So that's a big challenge because they've been beaten down because they're shrinking.
Yeah.
But a lot of the communities they're in are shrinking. And then, as we know, there's far fewer Christians in general in the United States. So regular church attendance is around 30% of the country. When you and I were in seminary, it was over 50%.
Yeah.
We're in worship regularly, and that's defined as 3 to 4 times a month.
Yeah.
So there's a lot fewer Christians, and those Christians are not going to church as often.
Yeah.
And then they increasingly don't live in small towns.
Yeah.
So many small towns have had population decline. And then they, you know, they kind of hear, you know, you need to do these tactics to try to grow your church. This is why you're not growing. Or they look back to the old times and wonder why it can't still be that way. So it takes a toll on their self-esteem for sure, which then... everybody has had moments where they don't feel good about themselves. So that basically poisons everything you do. Yeah. Well, right? If you don't feel good about yourself.
And if you start getting the message that to be a church means full pews, mm-hmm. to be a church means to be in the black every year financially, to be a church means to have every single age group represented. And then if you can't tick all the boxes, are we still the church?
Right.
And, you know, the short answer is yes.
Yes.
You are. Like, be the church right now. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until one day when you might tick these boxes mm-hmm. to start being the church and then feel bad about yourself until then. Yep. You know, start now.
Jesus set the bar at two people.
When two or three,
Yeah.
Or three. When two or three are gathered in my name, yeah. And he started a revolution with 12.
12.
So, right. I like those numbers.
Yeah. And so, listen, you may not be able to start the same type of revolution if you have 12 people in worship, but it's not accurate to say that 12 people, especially in a rural community, have no ability to do ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just changing. It's like everything you look at in society. It's yeah. changing models. Mm-hmm. And how people adjust and adapt to those changing models will have a lot to say about what the next era looks like. Mm-hmm. So it's hard in the church to adapt and change mm-hmm. With any speed. And then also, nobody's clear on what to do.
Yeah.
We don't, it's not like there's some manual or playbook that yeah. we have.
If you told all of us that if we would just jump from this to this, then right. everything would be successful. Right. Well, so, we would do it, but...
So therefore, you go back to the old playbook.
Yeah, and did you see how I used the word successful, which yeah. maybe shouldn't yeah. be, you know.
Right.
It should be faithful. The word I should right? have used is faithful.
Right. Yeah. There is a playbook for what the church is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And what we want is a playbook that correlates to membership growth.
Yeah.
That's not the point. What we have a playbook for is doing Jesus' work.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I work on with leaders and congregations. When we build out this new Thriving Congregations piece, it's going to be built entirely on churches reclaiming their theological identity. The fancy word for that is ecclesiology. And so that's where we're going to start. And I think many of them will be confused.
Yeah.
As to why we're starting there. The beauty of it is they're not paying for it. So they don't have to say, we're not paying for this, go away, because they're not paying for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If they don't want to participate, that'll be fine. But that's how we're going to go about it. Because if you don't know your why, mm-hmm. And I've been talking with some of the folks I work with about this recently, if you don't know your why, then your what doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, in the immortal words of Dawes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Yes, thank you for that mm-hmm. California band.
Yes.
That nod to a California band.
That we love.
Yes. So I want to ask, so this has been pushing you in some ways. I mean, you know, you're kind of busy. Pastors are usually busy most Sundays. It's not like we go out and around and get to see other churches mm-hmm. or really even get to talk to other pastors. Certainly not outside our town very often. What's been a surprise to you? A good surprise, a bad mm-hmm. surprise, an in-between surprise? What's something that has surprised you?
You know, I mean, I think it's these little gems that are kind of tucked away and hidden underneath that narrative of if it's not growing, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so proud to be affiliated with First Pres MENA and their pastor, Bill Seitz. They do amazing things in that community around mission on the fifth Sunday of every month. And I think this would be fun at First Pres Fort Smith. I don't know that it would ever happen, but on the fifth Sunday of every month, there's four fifth Sundays a year.
Yeah.
So those fifth Sundays, no worship. Mm. They all get together and go do community service.
This fifth Sunday is Easter.
Right. So that would be bad. So I don't know. I assume they'll have church on Easter.
We got to check with Bill.
But the next Sunday they may be out and about.
Yeah.
It's changed that church and yeah. it's changed MENA because they've met all these people and they've had all these conversations. You know, First Pres Van Buren, little tiny First Pres Van Buren, led by and I think I can say her age, 79-year-old lay pastor named Jan, they put up a blessing box like we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now all of a sudden they have met numerous neighbors next to the church.
You mean Alma?
Yes, Alma. Sorry,
not Van Buren.
Not Van Buren. Alma. Sorry.
Alma. Yeah.
But they've put up a blessing box. Alma has a great food pantry. But
Van Buren,
has a great food pantry. My gosh. But Alma has put up this blessing box. Doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah.
But it has allowed them to meet some of their neighbors that they hadn't met, otherwise, because they came over. And now those folks sometimes request things and they try to get those.
Yeah.
And they've talked to some of them. And it's given them this kind of outward focus. You know, when I was in Missouri and I went to this little tiny Presbyterian church in Willard for their presbytery meeting. And I've told you this story, but they have this pastor, Willard, Missouri does, named Daniel Lee. And Daniel works part-time there and then commutes back to Yale, where he's a violin instructor.
As in university.
As in Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So he flies back and forth most weeks to do his lessons.
From Tiny Willard.
From Tiny Willard. And I said, "Why? How did you end up here?" And he said, "I wanted to try something different." Well, congratulations, Daniel. And, you know, he had the greatest church sign that I've ever seen. He had put on the little church sandwich board, "Prepare to be dazzled." Which I just was like, that's the greatest that I've ever seen. So First Presbyterian Church, Willard, Mount Zion, prepare to be dazzled. Right? Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
And it's funny, mm-hmm. but he also means it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's ironic, but not ironic. Mm-hmm. So there's all these little...
And it's joy-filled.
It is joy-filled.
It's joy-filled, yeah, not
right.
Just
it's not just dripping with, you know, caustic humor.
Yeah.
So there's all these little things that are happening out there that I think deserve to be marked.
Mm-hmm.
And those churches need to know that what they're doing is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could keep talking about that stuff, but I think it's important to celebrate. That's ministry. All mm-hmm. those things are ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to celebrate those and not get completely overwhelmed by, will we be here in 10 years? Who knows? None of us know if we'll be here in 10 years.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing guaranteed. So why don't we do the best that we can with the time we've got, whether you're a person or a church.
Exactly. Okay, so I have a question about these various groups you've met with, because mm-hmm. you've met with, as you referred to them, ministers of word and sacrament. Mm-hmm. That means somebody who went to receive... earned a master's of divinity degree, a master's degree, and went through all of these sort of steps of ordination and installation into that church. Mm-hmm. Like, that particular church got called to it. CRE is somebody who was an elder in their congregation and went and got a little bit of training, and now they help serve their congregation
mm-hmm.
in their town. And then elder, as you said, is someone who's on the session.
Mm-hmm.
Of on the leadership team of the church. Mm-hmm. So you've met, you know, representatives certainly of all of those areas in the presbytery. And so what have you learned about the differences in the interactions?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I mentioned that the burnout rates were really high for ministers of word and sacrament. That's not the case for the commissioned ruling elders. Mm-hmm. So when they talk about their experience, it's quite different. And a lot of that relates to expectations and resources. Tasha, you and I are expensive.
We are expensive. I tell personnel mm-hmm. committee that often. Yeah,
we're expensive.
Yeah.
And also, I think there is...
Because there's also, by the way, that's not... We actually are required to be expensive yes. in many ways.
Yeah. Our health and yes. pension is required
health
by
and
the denomination.
Is required we don't by the... Choose okay, it. It's a whole thing. Yes, okay.
Bad podcasting is what it means if we go into that in too much detail. But yes, there are some requirements
it's
to our
required. Price. We aren't just saying...
Right.
Yeah.
And so with that and with the Master of Divinity, I think comes some expectations from congregations that we will be able to solve their problems.
Yeah, here you've come.
You have come. Now fix it. And what they mean by fix it, by and large, is get us back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Late 80s, I think.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. 80s, 90s, 50s, whatever it takes.
Good.
The last good memory they have. Well, that's impossible.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we don't have Mr. Peabody's time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to go back to congregations of the past any more than there is a way to go back to the days of no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, it's asking the same thing.
Or go back to your own childhood.
Or go back to like a dial on a TV. Like, you can't mm-hmm. get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
our dial was always broken.
I know, you used pliers.
We used pliers, yeah.
And so, anyway, I think that the churches need to... sorry, we got a little distracted here. But churches have to understand that expectation. That when you put that expectation on a pastor, pastors by and large are people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to meet that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do
mm-hmm.
it. So then they're going to feel disappointed. And then some of you are going to point out that they haven't met that expectation, maybe gently and kindly,
mm-hmm.
maybe with a little hurt in your voice, maybe with some anger.
Yeah.
And then those pastors are going to think to themselves, do I need this?
Well, I would say even deeper than that, they might think, do I need this when they're mad? But then come 3 a.m., they're going to think, am I called?
Am I called? Right.
Has God really called me, or right. did I make a mistake?
Right.
It gets all the way to core identity.
Right. And so I don't want to set up a conversation here in the podcast where it's those evil church members who are driving faithful pastors out of ministry.
That's not
the case at all. There's just a communication and expectation breakdown that isn't clearly acknowledged.
And so what are you finding in comparison then with the CREs? That expectation?
Right. Well, they know, those congregations know they can't afford a minister of ordained sacrament. And they know they never will again, probably. So then they're like, well, who's going to preach for us? Who's going to teach our Sunday school? Who's going to visit us?
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the commissioned ruling elder, a person oftentimes from that community and from that congregation
mm-hmm.
who says, I'm really interested in this and I would like to help. So they go online and they do a couple years of seminary education. They go through a moderately challenging presbytery process and they come out on the other side and they are commissioned by the presbytery
mm-hmm.
to be the pastor of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll work, usually these folks are near retirement
mm-hmm.
And they will work 20 hours a week, but they will cover the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They will make sure worship happens.
Yeah.
They will make sure people get visited in the hospital. They may teach some Bible study classes or make sure they happen. They'll unlock the church building.
Yeah.
They'll run off the bulletin.
Yeah.
They'll maintain these vestiges of the church's worshiping community.
Yeah.
And people are so grateful.
Yeah.
They're so grateful that somebody is there to handle these things so that they can still come and still sit. They've had to look into the abyss a bit.
Yeah.
So that they can still come and they can still sit and they can still worship. And it's okay, you know, if maybe the sermon isn't great or whatever, that's okay. They still get to be together and have a worship service as they have. But some of those commissioned ruling elders are doing really interesting things.
Yeah.
And so to me, if you can equip them in a certain way with some leadership skills and some tools, they could do even more because these are competent people. These are people that were teachers, that were professors, that were attorneys. They're well-educated. They're steeped in Presbyterianism. They're at a stage of life where they have vigor and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do a lot of stuff. And not just be viewed by the congregation and particularly the denomination as a stopgap.
As second-class citizens.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely sort of treated that way.
Correct. I have thought that before. Like, I remember earlier in my career, I was like, we don't need these CREs.
Yeah, I think you were wearing navy socks with shorts at the time. And
I was,
sandals,
and then I yelled at a cloud.
Yeah, and then you pulled them up. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so I appreciate you explaining all this to us and talking to us about this, updating us. So that's a lot of that sort of the last few months, the last year and a half, you've been doing this both in part-time and then now full-time capability. So here's my question. What is something you're really looking forward to that you're excited about in the next few months? Like, we've checked in.
Yeah.
What's something you're really excited about?
Okay, here's what I'm excited about.
Okay.
Interns.
Okay, say more. Interns.
Interns. So what I've had to work on for the other job, or other grant.
Yeah.
We're going to try to create a program that in 5 years is putting 20 to 30 University of the Ozarks students in rural Presbyterian congregations in the summertime.
Like a summer internship.
Summer internship, yeah. 2 months, mm-hmm. embedded in the life of that congregation, engaged in the congregation's community, applying some of the things they have learned in college in that community, and really giving fresh eyes and fresh energy and new relationships to some of these congregations. Mm-hmm. So this summer we're trying to get four.
Okay.
And we're trying to put them in Mena and Searcy. And can
go
we get
out two by two?
Two by two. They'll go in pairs.
Yeah.
Can we get four? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's March.
It's March. Can that happen? I don't know. But like to me, I think about how that can benefit everybody. So from the student's perspective, one of the things I think the church is really good at, and you and I both benefited from this, is they're really good at telling other people what they're good at. And yes. not in a way that's going to make you money, but in a way that's going to serve the kingdom. They are really good at identifying gifts of people.
Yes.
Vocation.
Yeah.
So what we want is for them to help students do this, whether they're religious or not. What gifts do you have that can benefit whatever community you live in that aren't going to be used for money necessarily, but are going to be used to enrich the people around you, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a value we have as the church. Mm-hmm. And helping pass that on to some of these students and helping them to see strengths that they may not even have known they had.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about self-esteem, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be great. And then for the churches to have two college students in worship with them, helping lead worship all summer, attending their meetings, helping with VBS, helping with whatever ministries they do, sitting in their Bible studies, mm-hmm. going out into their community with them, being introduced by them to the leaders and friends that the congregation has in their community, engaging those people, learning from them, supporting them, should be, for the right congregation, invigorating.
Yeah.
You've got two kids coming into your town wanting to learn about what your church does and what your community does well, mm-hmm. and then also what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think for the right church, they'll be like, they're gonna think new thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get some new connections into their community. They're gonna get new eyes on themselves when one of those students is like, why don't we have decaf coffee at the coffee hour? Well, I don't know, because we've never had decaf coffee before,
yeah,
you know? And maybe then they'll have decaf coffee.
Yeah.
So those types of conversations, I think, will be good. And, you know, it's not some sort of magic bullet.
Yeah.
But it's creating pathways and relationships that can really highlight the strengths of both groups. When it works, I think it's really going to sing.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't, it's 2 months. So anyway,
you'll have learned something.
don't send kids back to that church. But anyway, so I'm really excited about that. Can we do it? Can we pull it off? I don't know. But yeah. I mean, I think it's something to shoot for. And I think it's something that the University of the Ozarks Presbyterian School used to do.
Yeah.
It's in the DNA of the church. It's in the DNA of the university.
Yeah, they used to send back in the day, they used to send students out to preach
right.
at these little churches.
Why can't we do
Isn't that?
That
interesting?
Why can't we do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, anyway, so I think it could be a lot of fun.
That's interesting. That's exciting.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's
we'll
exciting.
See what happens.
Okay.
No pressure, Sarah Ann.
Yeah. Hopefully she'll never listen to this.
Right.
But we'll be so disappointed.
That's right.
In you. No, we love her. She's going to do a great job. She fills out your staff, mm-hmm. at least for now, mm-hmm. right? At the mm-hmm. end of April.
Correct.
And you guys will be motoring forward.
That's right.
This is great. Thanks for the update, Phil.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, Tasha.
All right. Tell the people goodbye.
Goodbye, people.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it. And go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.